Well, let me invite you to get your outlines out and also to turn in your Bible with me to the Gospel of Matthew. For these last few weeks the month of December, we've been going through Matthew chapter 1 and 2, the Christmas story. And tonight we're going to look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew, whenever he is writing, he is making it very clear that he is writing about the Messiah. Hundreds of years had been in the process of the fulfillment of the Word of God. And just imagine, there's no way you can or I can, but imagine Matthew is now writing about the one that has come. The one that has been prophesied, the one that has been told about by prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, and now the time of his coming. The only other way you can compare it is this. You and I talk about the coming of Christ. We talk about the rapture. Can you imagine it being tonight or it being tomorrow and us being a part of it? You've heard about it. You've heard it preached. You've heard it talked about. Well, that's exactly what Matthew is doing. So if you'll take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, scribes, the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people in Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." When you think about the birth of Jesus Christ, here's what you come face to face with immediately. You come face to face with the very reality that this is God's Son come in flesh. The Bible makes it very clear that here is Jesus the Christ, and there is no way that you can look at the birth of Jesus without realizing here is God's Son. Now, what's so significant about that is this. Here is the one that is born in Bethlehem, and he was the creator with God the Father. Jesus himself would say later on in the Gospel of John, he said, "I was with the Father from the foundation of the earth." And so whenever you're reading the Gospel account, you're reading something that your mind, to be honest with you, you'll never grasp in this lifetime. The one who is God the Son, that has always been God the Son, that will always be God the Son, that has always been from eternity to eternity, encapsulated in a baby form. And so the very Christmas story, whenever you look at it, there are so many things that don't make sense. Let me say this. Whenever you read the Christmas story, there are millions of people who say it just can't be that way because, according to them, it doesn't make sense. And there are so many things, you look in the Christmas story, that they're not designed to make human sense when it comes to our fallen nature. But they make perfect sense when it comes to the nature of God. And here you have, number one, you have God the Son, who has been from eternity, encapsulated in a baby form. How do you explain that? I can tell you this. I've read some of the best theologians that have lived and then died in this world, and they have a very difficult time fully explaining it. Someone said this, you try to explain the birth of Jesus Christ and you'll lose your mind. You try to explain it away and you'll lose your soul. And there's a great deal of truth in that. And so, not only do you have, here is Jesus the Christ, who is God, the Son of God, coming in baby form, but you have some other things that you look in the Christmas narrative. Here you have a pregnant virgin. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a pregnant virgin? Those two words don't go together. Well, if you're pregnant, you're not a virgin. If you're a virgin, you're not pregnant. There is one time in history that it has been, and the Bible makes it very clear. And so, unlike other pregnancies, it was announced to Mary through an angel that she would conceive. And you and I know the story that she would bear a son. Why could she not have had an earthly father? A number of reasons. Number one, he couldn't have been the Messiah. He would have been born of flesh. He wouldn't have been perfect. You see, the one who was coming, the Bible would say later on in the book of Hebrews, he had come to taste death for everyone. Now, you and I, whenever you think about the birth of Christ, I don't know if you want to think about this because we like a cozy feeling when we think about Jesus, when we think about a baby, but have you ever stopped to think this baby was born to be slaughtered? Now you say, I don't really want to hear that. The Bible says he came, the very purpose of Jesus coming was to taste death. And the only way he could taste death was that he would shed his life's blood at the cross 33 and a half years a little later and die for your sins and my sins. So you can't look at the birth of Christ without realizing two things. First of all, you'll never know in your earthly lifetime how much God is in love with you. And the Bible makes that clear. You know, we read it, but we can't fathom it. You know, the Bible says God is love. In other words, there's no way that you would give a human being for my life. If I said, ladies, you know, would you let your husband die for me? He said, well, he's not the best person in the world, but ain't no way I'm going to give him for you. Or vice versa. My wife may not be the best person, but she's not going to die for you. But can you comprehend? No, you can't. And neither can I. The love of God the Father in releasing his son so that he could be born and so that he could die for your sins and for my sins. And that's what Matthew is communicating. So here is God, the sovereign of the universe, allowing and permitting his one and only son from all of eternity past. There is no way to redeem man. Here is the creator of the universe, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father releasing his son to take on the form of a baby. Now, imagine this. Here is God the Son, who is with God the Father, creating the worlds, creating the heavens, creating the earth, creating everything that there is, and then at the proper time, God allowing his one and only Son to become in the form of human flesh. So I want you to look at a number of things in this passage of Scripture. First of all, the birth of Jesus is the coming of God's Messiah. Now, the Bible says, whenever you look in the very first verses of chapter 2, the wise men have seen his star. And in verse 2, here's a very interesting statement. This is, where is he that is born the King of the Jews? Now, first and foremost, let's understand that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There are so many things that are exciting in this story. Let me tell you why. It was prophesied better than 750 years before this day. A Messiah is coming. A Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming and he's going to be born where? Bethlehem. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says that there's going to be a governor that's going to come and he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Wouldn't you happen to guess it? Right in God's timing, right whenever God planned it and God arranged it, that's exactly what Matthew said. You know what Matthew is really saying? Everything God said hundreds of years ago has finally come true in the birth of the Messiah. The Bible says that here is Jesus, he was born in Bethlehem. That's what the Bible says. But, because they were listening and they were conscious of that. And, you know, Bethlehem was noted for another great king. You remember King David was born in Bethlehem. The Bible says that God made a promise to David. God said to David, I'm going to let you have a kingdom, and your kingdom is going to last forever. Now, folks, let me tell you why it's so interesting. Whenever you listen to Jesus born in Bethlehem, that is the fulfillment of prophecy. That is the fulfillment of a prophecy that was 700 and some, well, longer than that. 700, 800, 900 years prior to that. Why is it fulfilled? Because God always keeps His word. Whatever God announces to take place will take place. You know what makes it so exciting when you read about Jesus coming to Bethlehem? There's also another prophecy that's given. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 14, I believe it's verse 4, that Jesus Christ is going to come back. The Bible says He's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 11, the Bible says that Jesus was ascending back up into heaven. The Bible said a cloud enveloped Him. And you remember what the angel said? It said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus that you saw taken up into heaven is going to come back in like manner." Now, let me compare it. Jesus prophesied about that He was going to be born in Bethlehem. Did that happen? Absolutely. It happened in God's timing, in God's way, in God's planning. Jesus Christ is prophesied that He's coming back. Do you know where Jesus Christ is going to come back? The Bible says He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. Here's what's going to happen. Someday, in a day that you and I, it may be in our lifetime, it may be beyond our lifetime, we're going to be raptured. Jesus Christ is going to come back, and He's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. He's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. He's going to land back there, and He's going to walk 1.5 miles, and He's going to walk into Jerusalem. And as He walks into Jerusalem, He's going to walk in by the Eastern Gate. And for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, it has been prophesied there's coming a king. There is coming a king. And the Bible says when He lands this second time, He's going to walk into the throne room. He's going to walk into Jerusalem. And the Bible says He's going to sit down on the throne of David. There's a wonderful verse of scripture we'll get to in just a moment. But the Bible says they'll study war no more. They'll learn war no more. Can't you just imagine a society where it's all peace? A society where it's all love and a society that is tranquil. That's exactly what it's going to be like. The Bible says it is. But the Bible says, here's Jesus born in Bethlehem. A reminder that God keeps His word. A reminder that whatever God prophesies through His servants will come to pass. Here's why. God cannot change. You and I change. The very word of God can't change. God prophesied it by Micah. God prophesied it a long time ago in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Turn there with me for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 9. Now this was hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. As a matter of fact, it is speculated that Isaiah lived around 740 B.C., and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, listen to what it says. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now watch what's going to happen. "Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be," what? "No end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." So whenever God prophesies something, it's coming to pass. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, prophesied by God's servant because it was given by God. Jesus is coming to the Mount of Olives again, prophesied by God's servant because it is of God. When is Jesus Christ going to come yet? Well, the next time you and I are going to be gone. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. But after that, there is coming a day. As a matter of fact, I could take you to the point, place, and time where Jesus Christ is coming back. Why? Because the Bible has prophesied it. Zechariah said, He is coming back on the Mount of Olives. The angel said, "You men, why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus." So you and I can be excited because, listen, He left, He's coming back, and He lives on the inside of every one of our hearts. Well, look at number two. The Bible makes it very clear that here's Jesus born during the days of Herod the Great. The very timing of Jesus' entrance into the world was very interesting and ordered of God. Now, you know, have you ever said, well, you know, I don't want to bring any children into this world. It's such a chaotic world, and it's such a bad world, and it's such a wicked world. I don't think I've heard some parents say something like that. But when you read the timing of Jesus' entrance into the world, it's interesting to listen a little bit about and read a little bit about King Herod. King Herod was one of the most cynical, one of the most unique individuals. As a matter of fact, Herod was the type of king that killed his family. He was prompted by his sister Salome in the year 7 BC to have his two sons executed, and that's exactly what he did. His sister prompted him. He had them executed. And about 5 days, according to history, about 5 days before his death, he had his third son executed. Why? Because he didn't want to have anybody to take his position, take his power. And in the last years of his life, before he died, Herod didn't want any jeopardy to his throne. You remember he gave the edict. He gave the edict that all the children 2 years and under should be executed. Why? Because it was probably a rough estimate that Jesus was around 2 years of age. And so here is a wicked, ruthless, ungodly man on the throne. Couldn't he alter the plans of God? Here is what you need to understand. Nothing and nobody will alter the plans of God. When you read Scripture, you're reminded that there are wicked, ruthless, ungodly men, wicked, ruthless, ungodly Pharisees, wicked, ruthless, ungodly scribes, wicked and ruthless, but nothing alters the plan of God. You know why? Because He is the sovereign of the universe. Whatever God plans, God executes. You say, well, you know, what if it got messed up? You can't mess up the plans of Holy God. Whatever He sets forth, as a matter of fact, the Bible says Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. And, you know, somebody would say, well, what if Herod had found out? It's interesting. Herod didn't find out. He didn't know. As a matter of fact, he made sure, and he called the wise men. And the sobering truth is, God allowed His Son to be born into the same type of world that you were born in and I was born in. It was a world of chaos. It was a world of ruthlessness. It was a world of wickedness. And yet nothing alters the plans of God. From eternity past, God arranged and planned for the timing of His Son to come into the world. Why? Here's the reality. You're significant to God. You know, sometimes I really think we don't really think we're important to God. If you don't think you was important to God, why would He do what He did? You are significant to God. You're important to God. There's a purpose that He has over your life and my life. And regardless of what was happening, the truth of Scripture was God is always in control. And so, you know, not only do you have Jesus born in Bethlehem and Jesus born during the days of Herod, but I want you to look at the third one. Jesus announced by the wise men. I want you to look carefully in verse 2. Here are some interesting things you need to look at. Notice carefully. Here are the wise men, or the magi, and listen to what they say. Where is he that is born king? Do you understand? Jesus is not going to achieve kingship. He is born king. Listen to what they say. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. The Bible doesn't say that he was going to be king. The Bible doesn't say that they had to figure out who Jesus was or that he was going to be a king. They knew that in the prophecies of God, there was a Messiah to come. You remember in the New Testament, Jesus asked the disciples, said, "Men, who do men say that I am?" And they would say one, then the other. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Now, Christ was a title given to Jesus. Thou art the Messiah. You are the one sent from God. And you remember what Peter said, what Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Peter, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you." And so the Bible doesn't say that he was going to be king. The Bible says that he was born king. How did the wise men know? Well, real simply, how do you know there's going to be a coming of Christ again? God has put it in His Word. There's prophecy in His Word that He was going to come. In the Old Testament, it was announced. The prophets told. Isaiah told about it. Micah told about it. And these men were not unwise. But here's something interesting, and no one can ever explain it because there's really no theologian. The Bible says we have seen his star. Have you ever thought about that? The Bible says we have seen his star. There is not a single theologian that I've ever read that can explain that. And here's why. It's just like the Father to create a phenomenon as he needs it. Think about it. They did not know where to go. But here's what the Father did. He created what was needed to guide these wise men. And as they would come, and by the way, don't think that the Bible says there's three wise men. Sometimes we see on Christmas cards that there were three wise men we say that because gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's no evidence in the Bible that there was three wise men. There's no evidence that there was 30. There's no evidence that there was 300. Someone said, now don't say that I said this, someone said three men would probably not upset King Herod, but if there was about 300 wise men or magi come, that would probably cause concern. Now don't go out and say that I said that there was 300 wise men. The Bible simply does not say, but there's one thing about it. Herod was terrified, and the Bible says that these wise men said, we have seen his star. Why? Because God has sent us. God has sent us, and we are on our way because there is the King of the Kings that has come. And you'll understand why it's so exciting in just a moment. Because the Bible says this same one is coming back. You remember again, back in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, you remember what he said? You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing? This same Jesus who is born king. Wait a minute, what's he going to rule over? He is going to rule over the new heaven and the new earth. He is going to rule in Jerusalem, according to Zechariah. He is going to rule over his world. And so the fact that they followed the star has never happened before. It never happened since. And the star was created by God, to lead them, to guide them. And as you read Scripture, here's the reality. God knows what he needs to do to guide his people, and to fulfill his plans. And so, there are prophecies declaring the Messiah, and now it's spoken by the Magi. Where did they come from? What are their names? The Bible is silent about some things, and when the Bible is silent, we need to be silent, but the Bible makes it very clear. Here they are. Here is the Magi. And the name later was used as wise men, and they've come. Three gifts, very interesting what they brought Jesus. Have you ever stopped to think of the three gifts? Gold. Do you know why gold? Representing his what? Royalty. Frankincense. It's a fragrance, it's a perfume, representing the fragrance of his life. Myrrh. Would you like to know what myrrh was? Myrrh was considered an ointment that was a part of the process of embalming. Isn't it interesting that they brought and they laid at his feet those things depicting his life? The gold representing his royalty, the frankincense representing the fragrance of his life, and the myrrh representing what he was going to eventually do for your sins and for my sins. And so they announce to one of the most ruthless men, where is he that is born? Now, I don't know about you, but here they come to King Herod. You need to read about King Herod to understand him. He's a bitter man. He can't stand individuals that upset his throne. He is the most powerful man on the face of the earth. He is a ruthless man, if need be. And when he hears, think about how ruthless he is. And I shared with our Sunday school class this past Sunday, have you ever thought about the birth of Christ created havoc? In other words, Here's the king, and all of a sudden he issues a decree of killing. Kill all the babies 2 years and under. Why didn't God just execute King Herod right then? Why didn't God just take him off? Couldn't God? Sure he can. There's a lot of things in the planning of God. We just have to be honest and say we don't understand. But, they announced him, and then the Bible says, here's Jesus troubling the king. Interesting word in verse 3, King Herod was troubled. Nobody scared the king because he would execute them. The most powerful man on the earth, and he'd do whatever. But the Bible says that the announcement of these men troubled Herod. He had built cities, led some of the greatest building projects, and here is Herod troubled by the Messiah. Because the Bible says this one shall reign. By the way, Jesus has not reigned yet on the earth. That's why it's so exciting to read the prophecies, because he is literally going to sit down. You're going to be able to visibly see Jesus. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. If it happened today, if you could see it, you know, he's literally going to reign. He is going to walk into Jerusalem. He is going to reign. And I'll show you that in just a moment. But here is Jesus troubling Herod, since he was the most powerful person in the world. You'd think, well, you know, isn't God's plan in jeopardy? Couldn't he go find the Messiah? Couldn't he go kill him? Again, we need to understand, you will not alter the plans of God. Somebody said, you know what? You know, we can squelch God's plans. We do have a human part, but God is going to fulfill his plans. There's a wonderful passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. Need to go back and read it. But a man by the name of Balaam, he is wanting to curse the nation of Israel. The king is asking him to curse the nation. And he goes to God and he says, can I curse the nation? He said, don't you dare curse the nation of Israel. And he goes to the Lord a second time. Can I? And, of course, God says, absolutely not. And third time, he doesn't even ask the Lord. He goes out and he's wanting to curse. So he's wanting to get some booty from the king. And as he gets ready to speak, God changes the words in his mouth that they become a blessing. And here's why. I want you to hear this. You will not alter the plans of God. You cannot alter the divine, eternal plans of God. Let me give you an example. You remember in the New Testament? They took Jesus out to the brow of the hill and they was going to throw him over the hill. Do you remember reading that? And it wasn't Jesus' time. And so the Bible says he just walked right through the crowd. Why? Because he is the sovereign of the world. And so Herod didn't want a king that would upset his throne, but he had no choice. But here's the wonder and the reality. Look at number 5. Jesus, God's fulfillment from prophecy. When Herod had heard that the wise men declared him was a king was born, King Herod didn't wonder because he really had heard the prophets. He had heard about there was coming a Messiah. You know, he had heard the chief priest. Watch what he says. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Notice they did not say, I don't know. They said, we know where he's going to be born because it's been prophesied. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, when the wise men went on their way, he said, by the way, you go bring me word whenever you find the Christ, you find the Messiah. Now get this, so I can come worship him too. Lying right through his teeth. The Bible is filled with liars because the Bible is did you say the Bible is filled with lies? Absolutely not. But the Bible reveals men as they are. Here is Herod going to do everything he can, but you know that it doesn't alter God's plans. But God's word is the revelation of events, not only that have passed, but that are going to come to pass. You know, why is it so important to read the birth of Christ? Because it's the fulfillment of prophecy. It is a reminder to you and me, listen to me very carefully, God always fulfills his word. Now think about it. We live in a world where people don't keep their word, they don't keep their promise. But the Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, talking about the nature of God, there is no variableness of turning with God. There's no shadow of turning. In other words, the same God that began the world better than 6,000 years ago is the same God exactly and precisely today. He says, for I, the Lord, change not. So when you read the story of the prophecy and the coming of Christ, it serves as a solemn reminder. The plans of the future are also set in place. By the way, do you know that the plans of the future are in the Word of God? Somebody says, well, you know, if God is a good God, why does evil happen? Why does so many bad things happen? There is going to be a time when God takes His hand off the world in a way that you and I know it. And in that period of time, there is going to be the death of one-third of the earth's population. The Bible records it in Revelation. Because absolute wickedness is going to reign and God is going to remove His restraining hand. God tells us of wars that are coming. There is one war we read about and we think about because we know it's coming. What war is that? The war of Armageddon. We know it's coming because God's put it in His Word. But here's what we also know too, that Jesus Christ is going to conclude it. You know, when Matthew speaks, he's reminding that there's going to be a promised ruler. Matthew's reminding all those that are listening that Jesus is the governor of Israel. Notice I didn't say will be. He is the governor. Now, has that happened to this point? No, it's not happened. But the Bible makes it clear it's going to. Scripture says he came to his own and his own received him not. Yet the Bible makes it clear that one day in the timing of God, Jesus will rule in Israel. This Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, you and I know, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, ascended back to the Father. But I want you to turn to the book of Acts for a moment. I want you to look at it in black and white. Acts chapter 1. Because this is the prophecy of Him coming back. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, listen to what the angels say. Jesus is, in verse 9, he says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Now get the picture in your mind, in your spiritual imagination. Imagine Jesus ascending, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went, what's the next word? Up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? Listen carefully to these next words. This same Jesus. You and I are going to get to see the same Jesus that walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. You and I are going to get to see the same Jesus that raised the dead. You and I are going to get to see the same one. Watch what it says. Which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. What are they saying? Now I want you to listen. There is coming a time in the wonder of God, in the prophecies of God, just like he came in Bethlehem, just like he lived a sinful life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There is coming a time in the economy of God when Jesus Christ is going to visually, literally, actually return. How is he going to come back, Pastor? He's going to come back. Now, see, here's what we spiritualize it away. Accept it as literally as the virgin birth. It's beyond your mind imagination, but he is going to come back. I can't imagine what the TV cameras will do, but there will be a time. You say, well, what about us? Now, we will have already gone on. We've been in the rapture, and there's a lot of things that will have taken place. But the Bible says he will come, and this will be the second coming of Christ. He will set down his feet on the Mount of Olives. He'll return to the Mount of Olives as he left. The Bible says when he sits on the Mount of Olives, there'll be an earthquake. There'll be a divide. And there'll be a shift. Because the earth is trembling. The earth's Redeemer has come back. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 9. Of the increase of his government, there shall be peace, and peace shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. You know, in every one of our hearts, think about this. Don't you long for a time of absolute peace and joy and tranquility? I love these verses. Isaiah declares the throne of the Lord is going to rule. Ezekiel 37 declares the Messiah is going to come. Zechariah 9:10, I want you to listen to it. I want you to listen to it. I will disarm the peoples of the earth, including my people in Israel. And he shall bring peace among the nations. His realm shall stretch from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 2:4, and I love this. In a world of war, in a world of anarchy, in a world where people are killing one another, listen to what the Lord is going to do. The Lord will settle international disputes. All the nations will convert their weapons of war into implements of peace. Then, at the last, all wars will stop and all military training will end. What type of world is coming? The world that Jesus has promised from the foundation of the world. There is going to come a time, folks, that Christmas is going to be 365 all year round, far better. And we'll be able to say, our King. It's going to literally be on earth. We're going to say, our King reigns in Jerusalem. We're going to say, our King reigns in Zion, which is the place of Jerusalem. Not just a spiritualistic something in the imagination. It's going to be a real throne. He's going to really reign. It's going to really come. Why? Because Bethlehem came. Jesus was born. That actually happened. And the Bible says he's coming. As you and I enjoy this time of the year, live remembering he's coming again. This same Jesus. This same Jesus who knew your life and my life, he's coming again. The Lord has promised, and he's going to bring it to pass. Father, we thank you. Thank you that there is going to come a time when there will be no studying war anymore. There is coming a day, literally, that the Bible says, and you tell us, nations will beat their swords into plowshares, their instruments of war into something good, because you will rule in Zion. Father, I think about that day when the world will be peace because you rule in judgment and justice. And your kingdom, it'll be on this earth, a new earth. And Lord, it'll be far greater than Christmas because it literally will be the rule of Jesus on earth. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that this time of the year is just a small flavor of the earth to come. Of that time to come. And Father, we thank you. We'll never be able to thank you enough, but we will have a body and a mind that's pure, that we can praise you. And we thank you so much. Father, thank you for Christmas, because it's all about Christ. In your glorious Son's name we pray. Amen.